It is good to be together, and we're celebrating Father's Day all at the same time. I never quite know how to kind of fold into the teaching these special days, but today's going to be a fun day because I do want to talk about the task of parenting, and I do want to talk to fathers, but I also want to talk to all of us at the same time. You know, I'm figuring out that being a dad is kind of an interesting journey along the way, and I'm trying to figure out how to be a good dad, and sometimes I am, and sometimes I'm not. But it is a fun process, and I think that's the only thing that I can describe it as, is a process. I don't think I'll ever get it figured out, but I'll just go from day to day. Ken Davis is a well-known speaker, and he travels all over the country speaking. He's received a ton of awards, both from inside of the Christian community and outside of the Christian community, for his ability to communicate. On any given week, he could be in churches, or he can be speaking to businessmen, and he's spoken to people in the political realm, and so he's gotten lots of awards, even awards by the president. And he just has a great sense of humor. He was talking to fathers this last week in a program that I was listening to, and telling about his own journey as a father. And he said that he and his wife, when they were relatively young and without children, they got invited over to a couple's house, and they were placed between, the family's 1.5-year-old child was placed between him and his wife. And he said that that was the grossest experience that he'd ever had in his entire life. Because eating next to a 1.5-year-old, not only is it gross just because of the sounds and everything else that comes out of the child, but it's gross because they love to share their food with you, on you. And they got done with dinner that night, and as his wife was cleaning leftover food off of her clothes, he turned to his wife and he says, "Honey, I never want to have children." And she said, "Amen, I agree." And 2 weeks later, they were in the doctor's office. And he was actually serious about this. Is he just wasn't into having kids for a couple of reasons. One is his wife made more money than he did because he worked in the ministry, and she was making $22,000 a year as a bank teller, and he was making $8,000 a year in the ministry, and he needed her income so that he could keep doing what he loved to do. And so having a baby just kind of messed everything up, and he was still in a bad attitude when they went to the Lamaze class, something like that. You'd think I'd know. They went to this class and they watched the video of birth, and he raised his hand and said to the nurse, "Hey, can we watch it backwards?" She didn't laugh. In fact, he was the first person ever to get kicked out of a Lamaze class. You know, being a dad is challenging. Now, he later said is that he has two daughters, and he said, you know, even though at the time I did not want to have children, is after having my daughters, I could not imagine what life would be like not being a dad. Being a dad, for him, he said, was the most beautiful, rewarding experience that he's ever had in life. More important than everything else that he's done. He said, "I've written 7 books. I've gotten awards from the President of the United States. I've had all kinds of other awards, but the greatest reward is being a dad." I think that's pretty cool. And I look at that. Yesterday I sent out an email to the church family, and so some of you got it, just saying that I was going to speak to fathers and to the whole task of parenting, but also to us as a church body. And I put in the subject line, and I didn't explain it, but I put in the subject line, "Happy Father's Day," or something about Father's Day, the American crisis. And it's not just an American crisis, it's actually a crisis around the world right now. But fatherlessness is a huge crisis right now. Because even when fathers are present, oftentimes they are not able to, or they're not speaking into the lives of their kids. And the results are devastating. Absolutely devastating. Richard Rohr was a prison chaplain for 14 years in Albuquerque, New Mexico, worked in a men's prison. And he said the one factor that was true of almost every prisoner that he worked with during all of those years, after interviewing thousands of prisoners that came through the system, the one factor that was consistent with almost every single prisoner was that virtually all of them had little or no relationship with their earthly father. That's difficult. Did you know that most of the incarcerated individuals are males? By far, over 90% of incarcerated individuals in the United States are males. As I was reading through the statistics yesterday, and it's just unbelievable, the statistics about men and the struggles that young men are having. Young men are 6 times more likely to commit suicide than women. Men over 40, I think it was 14 times more likely to commit suicide. And so males are struggling in a phenomenal way, in just an unbelievable way. But in that too is that just that whole deal of parenting kind of fits in there somehow and in some way. So this last week, as I was reading and I was studying, is I picked up a book by Richard Rohr called Adam's Return, and he tells this interesting story. It's a true story. He was watching a documentary one day, and they were talking about elephants in Africa. And there's one particular park in Africa where they noticed an interesting thing happening. In this particular park in Africa, the young bull male elephants were acting erratic. And it was kind of a relatively new phenomenon. It's something that happened. It's like the sudden change happened in this particular park. And these young bulls had started to wander aimlessly, and they were unexplainably violent. All of a sudden, they just got violent, and so these young bull elephants, they're stomping around, they're walking over the tops of cars, they're just literally looking for things to destroy. They're knocking over trees for no apparent reason at all. They're even killing other animals and other baby elephants. And so park rangers from around Africa, they came to study the problem, and as they began to look at the problem, they didn't know quite what was going on, and so they began to ask the question is what's different about this park, because it's not happening in the other parks here in Africa. What's different about this particular park? And so as they were studying the park system, they said, hey, there is something different here. There's something that's not in this park that's in all of the other parks. They said there's no older bull elephants. As all of the older bulls had died, probably because of poaching and a little bit because of sickness. And so they'd all been poached off for their ivory, and a few of them had gotten sick, and all of the older bulls had died, and these younger bulls were left on their own to figure out life. And they just started rampaging. These adolescents acted like adolescents with no one to help them figure out what it looks like to be mature. And so they came up with a solution. The rangers decided that what they do is that they take a helicopter, they fly into one of the other parks, they would tranquilize and pick up an older bull, and they would just drop these older bulls into this other park just to see if that was what was going on. And so they did that. They dropped some of the older bulls into this other park, and it's interesting because the whole situation changed literally within a matter of a couple of weeks. And the old bulls, they didn't actually do that much. They would wave their ears, and they'd grunt and they'd groan and make other sounds. And on occasion, they would make small charges towards the younger bulls. And somehow, the younger bulls understood through these communications that their behavior was inappropriate and that they ought to shape up. It was that simple. That simple. Now, here's the point is in our culture today, when there are no godly males leading in our culture, when there are no, and I'll use this term, spiritual kings, so to speak, young people lose their way. And I'll tell you this, as I was a youth pastor for a lot of years, as I started leading the youth ministry in my church when I was about 16 years old. I started working formally in the church when I was 18, and from 18 to 26, I worked exclusively in the area of youth ministry. And then for my first number of years here, the church gave me permission to primarily focus on the young people. And so I got to work with the young people, kind of being the youth pastor that got to preach on Sundays, that kind of stuff. And throughout all of those years, I can tell you, after working with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kids, that the kids that struggled the most are the kids that had the toughest family situations, where mom or dad were gone out of the situation. And usually it was dad for one reason or another, though not all the time. And I can tell you, the neediness that was in so many of those young kids was unbelievable. And the number of young men that did not know how to be young men because their fathers were gone, it was unbelievable. Unbelievable. And that oftentimes these kids were looking to me as a very young man who wasn't prepared, to be a spiritual parent. They were looking to me to some extent or another to be a spiritual parent. And even after I moved to Big Timber, after I'd worked in other youth ministries, for years I got calls from these kids when they were in trouble or when they needed help, because they had no one else to call. And they'd call me sometimes just to talk, and they'd call me because one of their parents had ended up in jail, and they'd call me when their grandparents died and they didn't know who else to talk to. They'd call me for their weddings. They'd call me for other family funerals. Their parents would call me when the kids died, because they'd gotten involved in alcohol or drugs, or if they died in some kind of a tragic accident. But it's just a hard thing. As parents, you'll never realize how big of a blessing it is for your kids to have you, even though sometimes I know that they'd like to sell you if you were worth anything. But you'll never realize is how there's a couple of kids that are like, "What?" I saw those looks. you'll never realize is how important it is for you to be present, even though, you know, we're not perfect and we make lots of mistakes. But it's not just for us as parents, because there's also a call for people who follow God to be spiritual parents and to be involved in the lives of others. A spiritual parent is someone who speaks into the life of another person by telling them about who God is and what he's done for us, and prayerfully leading them into a relationship with God, and then parenting them in the Christian faith. And so we're called to be spiritual fathers and mothers. We're also called, for those of us that have the blessing of being parents, we're called to live out that role of life and to live it out the best that we possibly can. And so it's not easy, though. So the verse that I want to use as we dig into this is, I want to use a verse that's written by the Apostle Paul, or a series of verses written by the Apostle Paul, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 7 through 12. And here's what the Apostle Paul is saying to this church. As the Apostle Paul is talking to them, and he's talking about his care for them, and he says that when he came to the church, he says, "We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us." And so do you hear the Apostle Paul's words? The Apostle Paul is using a very loving, a very caring, a very parental tone with the church. And he's saying is that we came like a mother taking care of her young. That we came with affection. And we didn't just want to share the gospel of God with you, the good news about who God is and what he's done for us. We also came to share our very lives with you. And I can't think of a better analogy to the whole process of parenting, because really, once we become parents, right, nothing is our own, right? I'd like to say that my tools in the garage are my own, but they end up in other places. And it's just like all of a sudden everything that was mine becomes others. And but sharing life is, as you think about moms, it's literally for the first part of life, you share your very body. And that there's this constant taking, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. And the same thing is true of spiritual parents. It's this sharing of life. A sharing of life. The Apostle Paul goes on to say, "For you remember, brothers, our labor and our toil, we work night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you while we proclaim to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct toward you believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory." The Apostle Paul is using these terms of affection, but also these parental terms with the church there, saying is that we were like a mother, we were like a father, and we were there to do some very specific things. He said, we shared our life with you. And when he talks about being a father with them, he shares some very specific things about what it looks like to father. And this is coming from a man who was never a biological father to anyone. He was a spiritual father, but he talks in a way that we as fathers would talk to our children, or we as parents would talk to our children. Now, here's the thing, is that we can actually say is the Apostle Paul never fathered children of his own. And yet, his whole life was spent being a spiritual father to others. His whole life was spent pouring into others. You think about Timothy. Is we're told that Timothy was this young man that was raised up by the Apostle Paul. And when the Apostle Paul writes his letters to Timothy, he says some really interesting things to Timothy. At the beginning of 1 Timothy, he says to Timothy, "My true child in the faith." And then he writes him this letter just to encourage him and love on him and help him along. He ends 1 Timothy by saying, "But as for you, O man of God, flee from the things that will hurt your soul." And so he's being a father and he's parenting his son in the faith. And he's saying, be careful about falling into temptation. Be careful about the temptation towards leaning towards riches and those kinds of things. Be careful. Instead, pursue righteousness, pursue godliness, pursue faith, pursue love, pursue steadfastness, pursue gentleness. Fight the fight of faith. And parents, that's so much of what we're supposed to do with our kids is we're supposed to be encouraging our kids to fight the fight of faith, because it is a fight out there. And our world is fighting for the very souls of our kids, and it's there's a lot of temptation between the media and everything else going on out there. There's a lot of temptation that's pulling our kids in one direction that could be very, very hurtful. And so we're called to encourage our kids and challenge our kids, have them fight the good fight of faith. And he tells Timothy is take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God who gives life to all things and of Jesus Christ to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach. And then he goes on to encourage him in 2 Timothy. Same thing. He starts out his letter to Timothy. And he says to Timothy, my beloved child. To Timothy, my beloved child. And he's talking to Timothy. He says, I remember your tears. I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, the faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. You know, one of the best things that we can do as parents, whether we're spiritual parents or whether we're parents, is to encourage our kids to fight the good fight, but also to fan into flame the gift of God. And so we want to see that flame develop, and we want to encourage them to fan it into flame. Here's the thing, and this is true of all parents, but we're called to the task of parenting, not just being a parent. It's easy, relatively easy, to become a parent. But becoming a parent is very different from parenting. And so, for those of us that are parents, we've got to ask ourselves is are we parents? And are we parenting our kids? Are we actively speaking in to the lives of our kids? You know, the Apostle Paul mentioned three things that as a father that he was doing in the life of the church. As he said, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you. Encouraging. That's a huge part of the task of parents. Encouraging. You know, coming alongside of, and you know, we watched that video earlier with the you can do it. I didn't like that last little part with the diaper, but the rest of it was great. But encouraging. You can do it. And you know, one of the ways important things for us to say is and when you can't, you have a God that can. Because there will be times where they can't do it. They can't do it. It's too hard. There's too many things that are stacked up. Our sin nature is so strong. But we have a God who can help us resist temptation, who can help us to trust him when it's hard to, who can give us wisdom when we don't have it. We have a God who can. And so encouraging. Comforting is a huge part of that also. It's just being there for our kids, laying a hand on them, praying for them, loving on them. And then the next part is urging them. And it's interesting is he the terminology that he uses is charge. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul was doing with Timothy. He says, I charge you to fight the good fight of faith. I charge you to do this. He's saying to the church here, he's saying, I charge you to walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you to his own kingdom and glory. You know, and that's what we're called to is we're called to walking in a manner worthy of the glory of God. Walking in a manner worthy of the glory of God. In Ephesians, the Apostle Paul uses similar language. He says, as a prisoner of the Lord, I urge you, and that's the exact same word in the original language is that word charge. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and with gentleness and with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And so I urge you, I charge you to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. And that's what we're called to is we're called to walking worthily. And as parents, that's what we want to pass on to our kids and also as spiritual parents. And for those of you that maybe don't have kids or maybe your kids are out of the home and so you're still parenting, you never stop being a parent. But there's this opportunity to also be involved in other people's lives as a spiritual parent. And I thank God for this church because this church has chosen to pour a lot of time and a lot of energy into young people. And so this church sets aside a lot of money to send kids to camp every year. We cover about 50% of the cost of every kid who wants to go to camp. And we try to support our young people, and sometimes we fail, but we really try. And I thank God for that because I know how important that is. Because as a young man who was struggling, I committed myself to Christ as a junior higher, and as a young man who really struggled, is I did not know what it looked like to be a mature man, much less a good father. You know, my dad's dad went to prison when he was young, and he never saw him again. And so my dad struggled with what it looked like to be a dad. And so my biggest fear when I got married is my biggest fear was being a husband, because I didn't know that I knew how to do that, and being a dad, and I was scared to death that I'd be abusive because of my family history. Scared enough that for a period of time, I broke off, Kim and I, when we were dating, I broke off our relationship for an 8-month period of time because I was scared to death. One of relationships and, you know, and all of the stuff that goes with them, but also as I was scared that I'd be abusive. And I didn't want to model that in my home. But I learned a lot about being a man and being a father from other men in the church. When I graduated from my first year, 2 years of college and transitioned to MSU Billings, there was a family in Billings that took me in for a 3-year period of time. And they treated me like their son. When I graduated from college, his gift to me was an elk hunting trip, all paid for with a guide and outfitter. When Kim and I got married, they said that they were going to cover the rehearsal dinner and handle all of that stuff. The first time that I ever preached, he sat about halfway down in the middle of the church service and he cried through my sermon. And they were there for me for a long time. And when I came to Big Timber, when they had one of the Sundays where they invited my family to come in, Mr. Rowlandson and his wife were there along with my mom. So my spiritual parents were there along with my mom. And I had a number of other spiritual parents who came alongside of me. As the pastors in my life, they used to invite me into their house and I'd have dinner with them. And that was the coolest thing in the world, to sit at their table and spend time with them. And then one of the pastors, we'd watch John Wayne movies after he put his kids to bed. And so many of those other guys. I had some great examples of pastors who didn't just teach me how to pastor, they taught me how to be a dad and a husband. And if it weren't for them, I don't think that I'd be doing as well as I am today. And you know what? I think that Kim thanks them for helping me to be a better husband and a better dad. You know, part of being the body of Christ is helping to raise up young men and women who love the Lord and know how to be young men and women. And so I would encourage everyone is whose life are you pouring into? Whose life are you pouring into? Is there someone younger that you're pouring into? Is there someone who is new to the faith? They may be the same age. They might even be older than you. But you can still be their spiritual parent because you're speaking the word of God, the love of God, the presence of God into their lives. Now, here's the thing. So there's only one perfect father. There's only one perfect father. As earthly fathers, we are not perfect and we never will be. Interestingly, there's only one perfect child also. Jesus. That should give us a lot of grace. We have a heavenly Father who is perfect in every way. And so, fathers, when we blow it, we can go to Him and say, Dad, I blew it. What do I do now? Kids, there's only one perfect father. Your earthly fathers are not perfect, although sometimes we'll claim to be when we're mad. until we're done being mad, and then we'll realize we're not. But we kind of like to play the God role, but we realize that that's not true. But there's only one perfect father, and He's your heavenly Father. And some earthly fathers are better than other earthly fathers. But you have a heavenly Father that never makes mistakes, that loves perfectly, that cares perfectly. And He loves you with a love that cannot be compared to. And so if your earthly fathers sometimes struggle, you can give them grace and pray for them. Fathers, there's only one perfect child, and it was Jesus. As Jesus was perfectly honoring of His Father, and the Father perfectly loved the Son, and interestingly, they both sacrificed so that other sons and daughters could be welcomed into the kingdom. Now, sometimes we focus on the sacrifice of Jesus, that Jesus came that he stepped out of heaven, that he lived the perfect life that we can't live, and he died on the cross, the death that we deserve for the punishment of sin, and was raised again. But you can't imagine how much the Father sacrificed also. Both of them sacrificed everything so that we could have everything. The Father loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice the Son. The Son, out of love for the Father, was willing to sacrifice his own being in the presence of the Father for other sons and daughters. I mean, you can't get much more beautiful than that. And then you look at all of the scriptures that talk about the Father God. As Matthew 6, 4 says, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Matthew 6, 8. In Matthew 6, 26, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Don't you know that you're so much more valuable than everything else that you can imagine? The Father God loves you so much. In Matthew 18, 14, speaking about the children, your Father in heaven is not willing that any one of these little ones should be lost. And then you think about the parable. We call it the parable of the lost son, but we should call it the parable of the awesome Father. Because it says that while the lost son was still a long way off, the father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's feast and celebrate. For the son who is dead is alive again. He was lost and is found. The parable of the awesome dad who welcomes those lost kids back into the fold. That's the kind of father that we have. And then you have Jesus saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. You know, so much of the mission of the Son is to bring the other sons and daughters to the Father. In 2 Samuel, God says to his people, I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. In Ephesians 2:18, through Christ, we have access to one Father by one Spirit. And then Ephesians 3:15, God is the Father from whom all fatherhood derives its name. It's pretty awesome. It's pretty cool. So here's the deal, speaking to dads. It's not an easy job, but it's an awesome job. It's hard work. Failure is involved because we have a sin nature. But we have the perfect example. There's no better example. He is the good Father. He has a heart for those who father. And he loves his children, and he will teach us how to love our children. And so we should look to him every day. We should pray often and fervently. Now that's true for all of us as parents. The rewards are incredible. And they will be passed down generation to generation to generation. That's true not just of those who are biological fathers and mothers. It's also true of those who are spiritual fathers and mothers. I want to invite you to stand, and we're going to close in prayer. For those of you that are parents, I just want to give you the opportunity just to pray for your kids just for a moment. for those of you that are kids, would you pray for your parents, and would you particularly, you know, take a moment even to pray for your dads? If your dads struggle, if they aren't the dad that they should be, would you pray that God would just work in their lives? A lot of the reasons why dads don't know how to be dads is because they don't know their Heavenly Father in the way that they should. And so you can pray for your dads, your parents. Parents, pray for your kids. And then just take a moment and just say, thank you, Lord, for being the only perfect parent, the only perfect dad. And thank you, Jesus, for loving the Father's will so much that you died for me. I just want to give you the opportunity, just next 10, 15 seconds, just say a prayer, and I'll close this in a moment. Father and Lord God, thanks for your grace and for your peace and your mercy and your work in our lives. Thanks for being the perfect dad that we all need. And thanks for Jesus, your son. Thank you for adopting us into your kingdom. Thank you for the sacrifice that you made. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly stepping out of heaven and becoming the perfect son, living the perfect life and dying on our behalf. And Father, I just pray, Lord, that, Lord, if there's any here who haven't yet committed their lives to you, that would just happen right now, just a kind of a calling out from the soul. Just thank you for being my Father. Forgive me for my sin. Jesus, come into my life. Be my Lord and my Savior. If you feel led to give your life to God, I just encourage you to do that right now. Just say, Father, I know that I need you, and I want you. Forgive me for my sin and come into my life. Father, I pray that you'd help all of us to take your word and to go out and live it well. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.